Hello, and welcome to the 18th edition of the Raise World Podcast. Hello also to those of you listening on the Blind Cool Tech Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast via the Raise World subscription, and you're listening through your Winamp subscriptions, if you want to contact me, all you have to do is arrow to any of the shows, or to this show, then press your application's key to open your context menu, and then you arrow down to where it says go to site, and then press the spacebar when the page opens. That'll be the show notes page, and there's a contact me link, you can just click on that. If you're listening via Juice, then all you have to do is, with your virtual right mouse button, click on the show and go down to where it says show notes and press enter on that. Again, the show notes page will open and there's a contact me link that you can press and that'll let you contact me. If you're listening to the Blind Cool Tech Podcast, well, I'll give you my contact information verbally. It's rforetjr@bellsouth.net. That's rforetjr@bellsouth.net. With those preliminaries out of the way, let's get on with the subject of this particular podcast, which is the advantages of going barefooted. I guess I should start this off with some personal observations. Some of you who know me already know well enough that I love to go barefooted. There's simply no better feeling in the world, I think, than to go barefooted when possible. It's more natural, it's healthier, it's better not only for the feet but also the entire body. That makes reflexology the great art that it is, because all of the nerves of the body intercept in three parts of the body: the brain, the hands, and the feet. That explains why reflexology is so effective. Ever since I discovered the condition of being barefooted, I have always preferred that to any other. There truly is no better way to be. In fact, in the interest of full disclosure, I am a member of the Society for Barefoot Living, which can be found at www.barefooters.org. Before giving you any contributions or material from any members of that list, though, I should tell you generally what we are. We are essentially a group of people who share principally one thing in common: our tremendous love of going and being barefooted. We believe that that is how we were meant to be, and I, for my part, believe that God designed the human foot to function at its most effective when it functions as a barefoot. There is really no denying that. God did not make the human foot to have shoes on. God made the human foot to function bare, which is why He designed it the way He did. It is much more able to take stress than people think, especially if the feet are allowed to be bare in early childhood. As a matter of fact, when a child is just learning to walk, the best thing is to let them walk barefooted, because it develops the muscles of the feet and the ankles and the toes, and it develops the strength of the arches of the feet as well. Whereas shoes and socks are confining, they are restrictive, and they hinder the proper development of human feet to such an extent that most people probably now, if they were to try to go barefooted, would not be able to because their feet are so weak from having been encased in leather restrictiveness for so long a time that if they said they couldn't do this or that barefooted, then sadly they're probably telling you the truth because they don't know how. Here's another thing. Most people walk incorrectly. That's another thing I want to discuss. Most people walk in a heel-to-toe fashion, which is, strictly speaking, not the correct gait to adopt when walking. Unfortunately, we've been so conditioned to not walk barefooted that we've adopted this improper heel-to-toe gait. It's like you come down very hard on your heel, and then you roll over unnaturally to the ball of your foot and your toes, and you essentially ruin the structure of your feet thereby, and that's how heel spurs and plantar fascias and all that unpleasant stuff happens. So what about athletes' feet and stuff like that, right? Well, actually, you don't get athletes' feet from going barefooted. That's how you avoid it. You get athletes' feet by not going barefooted, and you, when you keep shoes and socks on for so long a time, your feet become so unable to handle a natural environment that honestly they can actually become infected. I don't say shoes are the cause of every evil, but this is how I do see it. I see it that what happens is, see, the podiatrists and the shoe companies, basically they have this thing going where the podiatry profession persuades its patients to not go barefooted, and so therefore they don't, and so the muscles of their feet and the condition of their feet weakens to such an extent that over the course of time they develop serious foot problems. So to whom do they go? Well, they go to the podiatrist. Now, what does the podiatrist do? Well, the podiatrist recommends very expensive orthotics. This is the case even for such things as heel spurs and plantar fascias and so on like that. They recommend these expensive orthotics, and well, when you've paid for these bloody things and you've got them on 24/7 and you never get out of them and let your feet get air, you got a real big problem because now you're just making your problems even worse than they were before. And you're not curing anything. So then what do you do when your problems do get worse? You go back to the podiatrist. They prescribe more expensive nonsense for you to wear. And by the time you're done, they bury you in those blasted things. No, in my opinion, this all could be solved by the expedient of going barefooted. And now I think it's probably a good idea to let you hear some more pointers about some of the advantages of going barefooted. Back a few days ago, I asked the members of SBL for their contributions as to the advantages of going barefooted, and Robert Baxter Nesbitt had some great points to make about the advantages of going barefooted, and here's what Robert Baxter Nesbitt had to say.
Here are some bullet points for your podcast. 1. Distance walking in shoes and socks causes blisters, especially if the shoes and socks are wet. Footwear rubs against sections of the foot which were not designed to be rubbed. 2. The two most common causes of fallen arches are A. genetic disorders and B. overdependence on shoes for support. Going barefoot actually strengthens the arches and the muscles of the feet and lower legs. 3. Cotton material, especially loose weave, like socks, absorbs dirt, moisture and germs. 4. No shoe sole ever designed has had more traction than the sole of the human foot. We've been making shoes for a few thousand years, but nature has been refining the human foot for millions of years. I can see the sense in wearing shoes for certain activities. For the other things in life, why not enjoy them barefoot? It's comfortable and completely natural. Keep them bare. Robert Baxter Nesbitt.
And that's what Robert Baxter Nesbitt had to say about the advantages of going barefooted. A more honest appraisal, I think, you will probably never find. Well, speaking of walking, let's leave this parking area from in front of the compressors. And I'm going to show you something as I walk along here. Let me get away from the compressors so I can demonstrate this more effectively. Without using my cane, I am going to tread on the ground in an incorrect fashion and show you what I'm talking about. When I say most people walk incorrectly, I mean that. They do two things which really kind of, actually kind of aggravate me. One thing really does. The incorrect heel-to-toe fashion, if you come down hard on your heel and then roll over in an unnatural fashion from your heel to the balls of your feet, that produces an effect not too dissimilar to this. That's a rather clunky way to get around. It isn't very graceful, besides. It's uncomfortable to walk that way after you spent so much of the time doing it right. Now, if walking heel to toe is not the correct way to walk, especially when barefooted, what is the correct way to walk, if not heel to toe, as so many of us do improperly? The best way to walk is to place each foot on the ground more flat-footed so that the ball of the foot touches the ground first. And as you shift your weight onto that foot, you're doing so gradually, not putting as much stress on the foot at a time, thus sparing the bones of heel spurs and so forth. See, think about it. If you come down hard on your heels, very hard, and then you kind of clunkily roll over to the ball of your foot, that's incorrect. That damages the structure of the bone. It's very unnatural, and it's just a horrible way to walk. It just doesn't get it. If you walk as I've described, placing each foot on the ground so that the ball of the foot touches the ground first, and then as you shift your weight over, the rest of your foot comes into contact with the ground. By the time your weight has shifted mainly to the toes of that foot, the ball of your other foot should be touching the ground. In other words, you want to achieve the effect of literally floating on the air. You're floating on the ground. Now, folks, listen to this. You're hearing an example of something else that I find so aggravating. What you're hearing, and I will I'll explain why it's such a problem. And it's not a very healthy thing to do either. Some people walk, they have this really rather aggravating habit of dragging their feet on the ground, and they don't pick up their feet. You have to pick up your feet when you walk, because if you don't, it just doesn't do you any good to walk that way. That isn't natural either. Oh well, I guess what I'll do is I'll go ahead and go inside and take out the garbage. This is actually something else that I do, is take out the garbage from the dumpster. And I'm going to do it barefooted to make a point, actually. Most people think that you can't walk on broken glass barefooted and not get cut. Actually, you can. And I have done it. I don't normally make a practice of doing it, but I have done it before, and I would do it again. Now let me just get a new garbage bag here while I talk to you. There was a Miss America pageant one year where one particular contestant, as her talent, walked on broken glass barefooted. I kid you not. The audience was admonished to be completely silent. Totally unnecessary, really. The audience didn't need to be quiet. She could have done it just as easily with the audience making noise as with them quiet. But the producers of the show, giving in to the misconception that going barefooted is dangerous, I guess, or something, I don't know, told the audience they needed to be completely silent or she might get hurt. What a bunch of crap. She wouldn't have gotten hurt. If you really know what you're doing, if you're used to going barefooted, and if your feet are tough enough, you can walk on broken glass. That includes broken bottles, in case you're wondering. Barefooted, without fear of even breaking the skin. I'm serious. If you're not used to going barefooted, then walking on broken glass would indeed be a stupid thing to try. Here recently, the Miss America contest has invited its women to go barefooted during the swimsuit competition. As a matter of fact, the first year they did that, that was the year that Heather Whitestone won the Miss America competition. She was Miss Alabama, as a matter of fact. And, of course, the drive-by media was all full of the story. This year, the Miss America pageant contest would be going barefooted during the swimsuit competition. That was all anybody could talk about for pretty much a week. Oh, yeah, it was all over the news. It was all over the place. Nobody could talk about anything else. And the thing of it is that, you know, for all the talk that they did about it, it lasted all of about 5 minutes or so. But just to prove that the sensationalism was still not done, it was Regis and Kathy Lee, they were hosting it that particular year, and the sensationalism was still not over with, because one of the first, when they come up to the question and answer part, where they ask the contestants questions, Regis, and you sort of knew this would have to happen, the first question to the first contestant was, well, we've been hearing all week long about how the Miss America pageant would be done barefooted during the swimsuit competition. What did you... how do you feel about that? And the contestant replied, well, she said, I went out and got a pedicure to make sure, you know, that I was ready and everything. So she wasn't fazed by it. Although some of the contestants were perhaps a little embarrassed at the possibility of the judges looking at their feet instead of the rest of them while they were in the competition. Some of them were a little concerned about that. One of them said, well, if they're looking at the rest of me, I'm okay, but if they're looking at my feet, I'm done for, I'm finished. That's what comes of not taking proper care of your feet the way you should do. Well, folks, I am now standing at my dumpster, and this particular time, there's no broken glass, but sometimes there is. Well, anyway, I don't want to stand by this thing for too long. Ugh. Ugh, get away from this thing. But yeah, there has been broken glass by here a time or two. It hasn't ever fazed me, though. I want to bring up something else. There was a... What are the four things that going barefooted is based on? One, it's based on how you were raised, where you were raised, the environment in which you were raised, and your personal preferences. Which includes, of course, being raised in a family where going barefooted is prevalent, as it has been and tends to be in mine. Well, I'll just go out and check the mail here. And as I do, I want to bring up something else here, and that is that back a couple of months ago, someone on the NFB Blind Talk list brought up the question, should blind people go barefooted? The answers, as you might imagine, ranged wildly from absolutely not to absolutely yes. Those who said absolutely not maintained that the reason that a blind person should never go barefooted is the fact that after all you're blind and so you can't see what you can't see where you're going or what you're stepping on. So going barefooted for a blind person is a very bad idea. That's nonsense. Others, like me, posited the idea that, of course, you should go barefooted as often as is physically possible, as much as you prefer, and as much as your environment and or circumstances will allow. Most either said nothing or tended to be more neutral on the subject. Saying neither yes or no. I, of course, say yes. But now I want to deal with the subject of little children and whether they should go barefooted or not. Well, of course, the answer is yes. If you let your kid go barefooted when they're first learning to walk, the muscles of their feet will develop more properly. Not to mention, it simply just feels better. I don't think that whether a person goes barefooted or not should be based on whether one is blind or not. That is really not the thing that it should be based on. It may well be based on other things. For example, whether your environment will allow it, whether how you were raised, your personal preferences, the weather where you are. For example, the coldest that I can comfortably walk outside barefooted in here in this weather in South Louisiana is about 60 degrees. Because our air is more humid. Yet when I was in Omaha, I was able to walk over to my apartment complex barefooted, and it was 49 degrees at the time. The air, of course, was drier. I don't think it is necessary for a blind person to be especially careful if the blind person goes barefooted. Especially if you use your cane effectively. If you really know where you are, then you really don't need to be all that careful. And if you don't know where you are, here's a point that another friend of mine brought up. If you don't know where you are, if you don't know what's around you on the floor or wherever, then going barefooted is practically perfect because it allows you to get a feel for your surroundings, you can learn your way around better if you go barefooted. That is a fact which she pointed out to me, and which, believe it or not, I did not take into consideration. Well, as I come back in, I'll thank you for listening to this rather short podcast on the advantages of going barefooted. I hope that if you haven't tried it, that you will try it. You'll find that you won't regret it. You'll find that you'll enjoy it a lot better if you just simply allow yourself to go barefooted. It feels much more natural. It's the only way to be, especially when you live in weather such as we do here, anywhere where it's warm, really. Anyhow, thank you for listening. If you want to contact me, my contact information is rforetjr@bellsouth.net. Okay, well, thank you for listening. And on the next podcast, you'll hear me reapply for food stamps, and I make some, well, if the truth be known, some rather uncomfortable admissions about myself, but that's for the next time. In the meantime, thank you for listening to this edition of the Raised World Podcast. See you next time.